The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to another UAB Director's Chair. He is the athletic director of your UAB Blazers, Mark Ingram. He's on the left-hand side of the screen. I'm Tony Curry. You can listen to this show, of course, at least 5 days a week right here on the TKR app. Download the TKR app. Those three letters will get you classic rock to the bone, 24 hours a day, 14 unique shows. And, of course, you can also watch our shows right here on our Tony Curry YouTube channel or wherever you get your favorite podcast. Marcus, how you doing, brother? Happy holidays. When we record this show, it'll be the last day of November. The holidays are upon us. How you doing, my friend?
I'm excellent. Thank you, Tony.
It's great to have you on the show. We got a lot to talk about. Big ball game going on tomorrow night. I just left Fox 6 a few minutes ago with Mike Dubberly and Janice Rogers and saw your director of fan engagement up there. She was delightful. Talking about the second annual teddy bear toss, which I think is an absolute brilliant idea. I think it's just a wonderful idea. Talk about that a little bit. And obviously, a lot of people may hear this podcast after the fact, but to talk about that because I'm sure you'll do it again next year.
Yeah, we definitely will. And so if you thanks for bringing it up. If you do catch this before the game and you can come to the game, we're talking about Southern Miss Friday night, 7 p.m. at Bartow Arena. So playing one of our old CUSA foes from right down the road, which is great. It's a great game. I'm glad we're playing it. You know, we just played Middle Tennessee a week or two ago, right before Thanksgiving. So glad we were able to get this on the schedule. But the teddy bear toss, it's just another way. Look, everybody's familiar with these sort of holiday toy drives, toys for tots, this kind of stuff, which are all great organizations. And I hope that people will continue to support them. But it's our way to do something a little unique there. So, you bring a teddy bear, you throw it out onto the court. And so, you bring a bear or any stuffed animal and then we collect those and give those to kids. It's a great opportunity for us to do something nice at the holidays and let our fans do something. It's just kind of fun and unique. And it's just kind of cool to see all these stuffed animals all over the basketball court.
It reminds me of what did they throw in the octopus or the squid at hockey games. I love that. I mean, it gives you an opportunity to actually throw something onto the court. It's legal to do that. And I think last year she said that you raised somewhere like 400 teddy bears. We're going to try to double that this year. So it's just a super cool idea. So
yeah, year one, we had over 400. So yeah, we want to keep building on that and growing that. So we hope that our people listening here and our fans will come with a bear or again, any stuff.
The bigger, the better too, man. Throw the big stuff out there.
Yeah. So get a whopper. No, there's no size limitation here. Get that 7 foot tall teddy bear.
Do it, man. UABSports.com, UABSports.com for all information. That is UAB Sports. Go Blazers. He is the athletic director, the UAB director's chair. We run every single week here on Tony Curry Radio. And happy holidays to everyone listening and watching here. Got a couple emails, info@tonycurryradio.net. We'll get into in just a few seconds. We were talking about the basketball program. Obviously, I love the basketball program. I follow it religiously. I saw the game against McNeese State, which was just a real head scratcher. Well, we talk about the good, bad, and the ugly. And I threw the question out and I asked you if I could ask you this on the show, and you always allow me to do it. But I said, is coach an ass chewer? Because
say that on the radio, Tony?
Well, sure, it's on Tony Curry Radio. You can say whatever you want. But I want to know if Coach Kennedy is one of those guys. I see him on the sideline. I hear him after the game. I know he's a huge numbers guy. And it's amazing because it could have been right after the last whistle. And the guy's already got a numbers in his head. He knows exactly what's going to take to win and what it's going to take to lose on a particular night. But you're there every game for the most part in the locker room afterwards. What is he like after a game like that? What's he like after a game in general?
Yeah, Andy is very animated during the games. People that if you sit behind them, he's got great humor. Anybody that knows Andy, he's a very funny guy. He his sarcasm, whatever, kind of all during the game, things that he says to the players, to the officials, to the coaches. He might turn around and say something to you. You're sitting back there, you're not sure if they're a kid. All that being said, what's interesting about Andy, you mentioned he's a numbers guy. And I mean, that's just where analytics and data have gone. That's where really all sports have gone. He's got all this information. So he's got, it's like five or six things. He's got this board in the locker room. And it's, if we do these things, we will win, right? So if we win the turnover battle, if we win, which is probably not different than football, right, or whatever, if we we out rebound the other team. You know, the assist to turnover ratio is bad. You know, all these things. If you hit these things, we're going to win the game. So Andy is actually, when he comes into the game, is animated and kind of big personality as he is, you know, a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. In that moment, he just walks in and he's just real steady. Andy's, I don't want to say quiet in that moment, but kind of soft-spoken. Like he's not, I have yet to see him go in there and raise his voice. Now, I'm not in there at halftime. Halftime, I don't know that I'd say it's inappropriate for me to be there, but I don't have a role. I'm excited to be, I go to the locker room win or lose because I want them to know the team and coaches, I support you regardless of what just happened. I'm happy when you win and I'm sad for you and with you when we lose. And so that's really what I'm doing. I don't say anything. He's just real steady after the game. He's real, almost calm. And he'll just kind of go through he's got the post game stats and he'll go through the sheet and he'll say, okay, you know, hey, great night. You had, you know, 16 rebounds tonight. Good job. You know, we talked about that, right, team. We talked about, we got to win this here. We got to do better at that. We got to, you know, look at this in the second half. They only scored, their shooting percentage in the first half was, yeah, 40%. We locked them down. It was only 32%. And said, that was, look, and we won by this many points. That's the key to the game, right? We talked about that, you know, because so many of us, players, fans, whatever, we really just think about free throws, three pointers, dunks, scoring.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and he points out all these other areas of ways that we, and he looks at shooting percentage too and all those same things, but he's looking at, you know, how did we play? Andy's really kind of a defensive guy. You think about press and, you know, we're fun to watch when, and you got to score. You got to score to run the press, right? Yep. So you can't just jump into the press after a miss. You go into the press after a make. And so you got to make one so you can get into your press. And man, when he does that, and he'll throw it on you and pull it off and half court, full court, back off, you know, he keeps you off balance and it's exciting to watch and a lot of fun. But, you know, the other night wasn't our night, but we had played a great game against Furman where we really seemed to sort of offensively really get very efficient. Our numbers against Furman, who's going to compete to win their league. Furman's going to compete to win the SoCon the way that I think McNeese will compete to win their league. And we're playing a lot of Southern Miss, who we've got Friday. They're going to compete. They're going to compete to win the Sun Belt. They're very good.
Yeah,
we think Middle Tennessee is going to compete to win the Conference USA. So he lined up some games. Maryland, who we beat, was ranked preseason fourth in the Big Ten. He lined up games against people trying to improve our net to get us to the NCAA tournament. Now, look, you got to go win games, right?
Yeah.
But don't judge these names on the shirt, man. If you're playing against teams that played in the tournament last year or likely will this year, those are tough games.
UAB Director's Chair, he's Mark Ingram. He is the athletic director for the UAB Blazers, UABSports.com. Check it out. info@TonyCurryRadio.net. We do have a couple of email questions. I shared one before we actually get started. There's another one here from Skip in Mountain Brook. He said, now the UAB Blazers football program will not be playing in a bowl game. What does the team do during the holiday season? Obviously, when you know that you've gotten your six wins and you're going to a bowl game, and UAB has done that every year since 2017 when they came back. This year, unfortunately, will not happen. But you have more practices, which is wonderful for recruiting and for football program. Does the whole program shut down? Does the team meet? Are there any reasons for the football team to meet when you don't have any more football games to play?
Yeah, there's definitely reasons to meet, and they have and will continue to do that. You have postseason player interviews and with guys that are graduating, moving on, guys that are staying or not staying. See, now you've got the transfer portal. You've got to discuss, you know, what's that look like and who's going in, who's not going in. You're trying to have very transparent conversations with the players to say, hey, man, based on what we've got coming in, I'm not sure your playing time is going to increase. We love having you, but if getting on the field is really important to you, it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
You know, you might want to get in the transfer portal, or somebody unexpectedly says, hey, I've made a decision. I'm getting the portal. Wait, what? You know, so there's kind of both sides of that spectrum. And then of course the opposite, which is I'm staying and we love you and we love you and I love you and everybody loves each other and everybody's good, you know, but even guys that get in the portal, you know, don't assume that they're always upset. You know, sometimes, you know, a person's been somewhere for 4 years, and in the modern era of transfers, sometimes they just want to change the scenery, and they're like, "Hey, man, I've got I graduated, I have a grad transfer opportunity. I want to, you know, go live somewhere else, go try something different, try a different shirt on for a year, and that's okay. You know, you hate to lose great players, you know, but that's not usually what happens. If a guy was starting, that's not that common, unless they were starting and while they were the best we had, they weren't quite what we need to be successful. Mm-hmm. And so we got somebody coming in and we go, "Tony, we love you, man. And I know you started this past year, but you graduated, and I'm not sure you're going to get on the field as much next year. In your last year, you might think about moving on." And anyway, you try to have just like a grown up discussion with them, you know? And, I just read today, that in 2010, mm-hmm. that out of across the country, football rosters made up 6.4% of the football rosters were made up of transfers, meaning
wow,
120 kids on the team, only 6.4% were transfers in. Okay. So you're talking about, what's that? 7 people, 8 people.
Yeah.
Today, 20.5%.
Wow.
Yeah. Made up of transfers. So it's just, I don't think it's healthy. There's a lot of things about it that I don't think are good. Even though a lot of the talking heads love to advocate about how, you know, look, coaches can leave. These kids ought to be able to leave. Well, coaches get fired too, yeah. You know, and coaches have worked a whole career and are continuing to try to grow and progress. You know, the athletes don't get fired. Now, the transfer.
Let's back this up. What does that say? What does that say when roughly 1 in 5 kids want to transfer from a commitment, something that they have? I mean, you're talking about 3, 4, 5 star guys who have multiple visits to go to multiple schools. They get a chance to be showered with games and all kinds of wonderful things to see what their campus is going to look like. Potentially they commit to that school. And then 1 in 5 guys says, I think I want to go somewhere else. What does that say about where college sports is right now?
Before the portal, before the playing immediately, you used to have to sit out a year.
Yeah.
And now the collectives, the pay for play collectives that are enticing you in. And I may have shared this story. I talked this summer with one of my friends who's at various times been considered the number one recruiter in the country. He's an assistant in the Southeastern Conference and been doing it a long time. I asked him about how and where he is. They reportedly do very well with their collective. So I said, you know, I just, "Hey, how's that been for you?" And he goes, "Horrible." And I mean, listen, they're reportedly the best or one of the best in the country with the money that they have available. And that's not what I thought he would say. He says, "Man, you know me, I used to do this on relationships. Mm-hmm. I would know the player. I'd know their parents, their grandparents, their coach, their guidance counselor, their principal, the custodian at the school. I would know all these people because I want to know what's that kid really like."
Yeah.
What kind of a kid is he? What kind of a teammate is he? What's he like all the time? Not just, "I know he's a great, whatever, defensive end, tailback, whatever." What is he like? And so in doing that and doing that due diligence, A, you know better what they're like and their personality, but you also, like, the kid hears that. At some point, the guidance counselor is going to say, "Hey, Coach Curry was in here asking about you." "Oh, he was? What?" They know you're checking up on him, but like, you're building a relationship of trust. They trust you. You trust them, right? So in the past, well, let's just hold that for a second. So secondly, even the kids, don't just think about Texas and Ohio State and Alabama. Think about it, really everybody at the Division I level. The kids we are recruiting are all this way, which is their whole life they've been the very best on their team, whatever the team is. Mm-hmm. In the third grade, when we were on the playground picking out who's kickball teams, they picked Tony Curry. You were the number one. You always got picked. And then you got into middle school and, you know, you set all the records for the presidential fitness test at the middle school. And then, you know, people said, "Oh, man, you're so great. I mean, you're probably going to start on the varsity. You'll be on the varsity team in the 8th grade." And then you are. And then, you know, and then you start. "Oh, man, you're going to get recruited by all these schools." And then you are. And you're going to be able to have, you have all these choices. And then you do. So then you get to UAB, Ohio State. It's really the same for all of us. And now you're in a locker room full of people like you. Mm-hmm. For the first time in your life, you're okay. So back to the start of this, which is a relationship that used to be built on trust. So in the past, when you show up and you do not start for the first time in your life, that's hard. That's an ego check. That is something that's got to be, that's a blow. That's a blow to the ego is what it is. But when you trusted the coach that recruited you, you could go to that guy and be like, man, I thought I was going to play. I thought I was going to travel. Hey, man, I know they told you that you're going to redshirt and you didn't expect that. We weren't sure. We wanted to get you here before we knew. But hey, that guy that's starting in front of you, he's a junior. You know, he's a potential All-American or an All-Conference player. Like, we think that guy's an NFL draft pick, whatever. He was just like you.
Yeah.
But we actually think you're better than him at this point, but he's better than you today. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to preserve that for you. And then you're going to have 4 years, and you can either start probably for 4 years or play a lot next year when he's a senior and then start for three after that. And you're going to have these same opportunities. You just got to hang in there, man. Well, when you had trust, right, you had something. Now you have a relationship built on a transaction. The transaction is, hey, Tony, we'd like you to come here and play, and we'll give you $50,000. Mm-hmm. Oh, hi, coach. Hey, coach, a couple of days later. School down the street says they'll give me 60. Okay, we'll give you 70. Okay, thanks. Now they're saying they'll give me 85. Okay, we'll give you 100. Okay, sold. And my friend said, he goes, God forbid you win that.
Yeah, yeah.
He says, because the problem is now they're going to show up. They're not going to be as good as they think they are. They're not going to be. I mean, look, sometimes freshmen, unique unicorn type players show up and can play as a freshman, but they are so few and far between. They are not physically ready for a guy that's 4 or 5 years older than them to block them or be blocked by them or whatever, tackled by them. They're just not ready for that, most. And so, you know, it's difficult. So if you have a relationship built on a transaction, now they're back in the portal looking for another transaction.
That's a great way to explain it. And you're spot on. The fact that you went through like Pop Warner and through third grade and middle school, and because those kids have just had that stuff filled in their brains. And
it's always been true. Listen, man, sure. That was true. I was playing too, but back then you had to sit out a year.
Yeah.
And there was no portal, and the portal is just a mechanism that allows me to see that you are at Utah State and that you're in the portal and available.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that is. I don't think the portal is a problem. It's the fact that you can play immediately, and now this collective money that can, hey, we'll offer you this much to get in the portal, which is illegal, but people are doing it, and then, you know, sort of buy you rather than you choosing, like, where's my best opportunity to play?
Yeah.
And is that, can my family see me play? Does that, maybe that doesn't matter, but you know, the things that ought to matter used to matter. But see, with me, you had pre-portal, you had to go meet with the coach. Mm-hmm. You don't have to meet with the coach anymore.
Yeah.
You used to have to go meet with the coach, sit down, coach, I'd like my release. I'm going to transfer. Oh, gee, why are you going to do that? You know, or the coach might say, hey man, I think that's probably a good idea. But if they say, I'm too far from home. I didn't think that would matter, but it matters. Or I'm not going to play for this amount of time. I want to play sooner than that.
Sure.
Whatever reason might have been, and you get your release or you don't get your release, and you could still leave.
Yeah.
You know, if you didn't get your release, the difference was you couldn't get aid from the new school. You couldn't be on scholarship for a year.
Yeah.
You had to sit out, and you couldn't be on a scholarship.
Anyway. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. I love the way you explained that. That was fantastic. Timothy in Hoover wants to know, please get Mark's thoughts on FSU making the Final Four CFP if they're undefeated. This is really interesting. You and I kind of got into it just a little bit before we started this podcast. A lot of people believe that FSU undefeated should not get in. They're not one of the four best teams. It's based off their schedule. And you could say their most good win this year is probably Clemson, a team that lost four games. And then when Jordan Travis goes out as your quarterback, and I'm trying to think, this happened with Cincinnati, it happened with a UC player in basketball. Who was it? Fantastic basketball player years ago, their best basketball player. Oh. And he went out and
broke his leg or something. Yeah.
And they were talking about whether they should drop their seed as a one seed to a three seed or something because they lost their best player. Yeah. And they didn't. And obviously they didn't get very far. Your thoughts as an AD, if you had a vote for the CFP, And let's play this into consideration. Jordan Travis is out. He is their best football player by far. He is obviously a much better addition to that football team. Team's a lot better offensively speaking. We saw what they did against Florida this past week at 5-16. They did get a victory. They're going to have Louisville going on this weekend. Louisville, of course, lost this past week to Kentucky. So that win's not going to be that big of a deal. But as a voter, are you one of those guys where, listen, they're in the ACC, they want undefeated, they should be in? Or are you going, listen, without this quarterback, they're just not the same team. I don't think they deserve to get in. I hate to do that to the other kids on that football team, but that's the way it is.
Yeah. So some people loved and some people hated the old BCS computer formula. Yeah. The people who didn't like it were the ones who said there needs to be some kind of a, and then you may not like this term, eyeball test. Mm-hmm. There needs to be some sort of an eyeball test. They don't really, yes, they're undefeated or yes, they're one loss, but they don't look that good. They won, but they barely won. And then yep. So I did a mock selection. The CFP in the summer will take a group of people every year to do a mock selection exercise where you go to the actual room at the actual hotel. Ooh. With the same exact setup and that the committee uses to vote and how they go through it. And Tony, it is fascinating and extensive. It is an extensive process that they go through to evaluate and discuss. And so you can agree or disagree, but the eyeball test is a big part of it. Meaning they'll say, hey, the dudes on that team, they are physically different than the dudes on that team. And when I watched them both now, and you're assigned conferences and you're assigned a group of teams to watch. So like, I might be assigned a group of six teams that are not, they don't overlap with yours. So I'm only going to talk about mine, as it relates to that, to the deal. So I kind of become an expert on, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And there's all sorts of things about not, having people from your own league. And of course you'd never be able to vote on your own team. Sure. And it happens. So, so you got to recuse yourself if you happen to be on the committee and your team is in contention. So your question about Florida State, unfortunately, Florida State is not the same team without their quarterback, obviously. But I was really happy for them to get the win against Florida. It's still a rivalry game. Rivalry games, you mentioned the Kentucky Louisville thing. Mm-hmm. Louisville's probably the better team, but rivalry games do that. Look at the Alabama Auburn game. I don't think anybody, one week after Auburn loses to New Mexico State, no offense to the good folks that are listening that are Auburn fans, and New Mexico State handled that game. That wasn't some last second Hail Mary. They handled that game. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think anybody, probably a lot of people in Tuscaloosa on that bus that went to Auburn, didn't think that was going to be much of a football game. But rivalry games they're just different. Yeah. I don't know how else to put it. They just are. And so no disrespect to anybody in those contests. So good for Florida State to win. It obviously the answer will come down to what does everybody else do? There is this weird scenario, I guess, with all these undefeateds, like look at Oregon, whose only loss is to Washington. Well, now they play Washington in the championship. What if they beat Washington?
Yeah.
What's the answer?
They're favored to do that.
Yeah. The odds of Iowa beating Michigan may be low, but look, Iowa's like 10-2 or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what their record is, but even though they fired their offensive coordinator in the middle of the season, they're having a good year. They're not scoring a lot of points. They're winning games. And so what if they do? Will Michigan still get in or not? Michigan will likely win that game. Odds, I guess, are in their favor. You just got to wait and see about this. So Alabama lost to Texas.
Yeah.
But what if Alabama beats Georgia? So now you've got two teams from the SEC with one loss.
Well, and from an eye test, to be honest with you, Alabama had a 0.1% chance of winning that football game in that 4th and 31 from goal to go. And the eye test, they should have lost that football game. They'd lose that football game 99 out of 100 times at least. Yeah. So I play into that a little bit, and certainly people could sit there and say, well, Alabama was a different team when Texas played them. Well, they played them when they played them. They were ready to go on that Saturday. They were ready to go. It was early in the season, week 3, and I get that. But you can certainly make an argument that Texas is easier.
I don't know what will happen this weekend, but Georgia played Georgia Tech the other day in a much closer game than people would have guessed.
1-8, yeah.
Okay, but Georgia was without like 4 or 5 starters.
Yeah.
Their tight end, Brock, whatever. Anyway, he's phenomenal, right? He's out for the season midway through the year, and they're still mowing through people. But the other day, they played without 3 or 4 other starters against Tech and got the win. So I don't know if they'll be back or not, but like, I don't know if they're out for the season or not, but same question. Like you go through this, if you got to, you go, well, who is it? Well, starting left guard. Okay. Well, that's not the correct. No, but starting left guard, starting middle linebacker, maybe starting safety, starting receiver. Hey man, we're starting to get thin here. You know, these guys are key players. You start for a reason. Yeah. You're not the same team. I mean, there's somebody that starts for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, and SMU this weekend in our league, is playing Tulane. And their starting quarterback, sadly, was injured in the last game, not going to be able to play in the championship against Tulane. So the odds, I'm sure, for Tulane to win that game have increased. They may have already been the favorite. I don't have any idea. But, you know, it's injuries are part of it, and you got to consider that. Yeah.
I can remember when Alabama played Texas, and they knocked Colt McCoy out of that national championship game in 2009, yeah. And everyone was like, I hate to see it. And next thing you know, Texas almost pushed them to the brink with their backup quarterback. So you never know.
Yeah. And if Colt McCoy had played, you know, Colt McCoy was a fantastic college quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
And what would that outcome? Would Alabama have won that game had Colt McCoy not gotten injured? And you go, well, but hey, our strength was defense. And we tackled him so many times. He got hurt and came out. I don't remember what his injury was, but yeah, if he stays healthy through that game, what's the outcome? I don't know.
You never know. Mark Ingram, he's the UAB athletic director. We always like to sprinkle in a little classic rock before we go. And it is right on the cusp of December. We're talking about the holidays. And I wanted to ask you, give me some of your favorite classic rock band Christmas songs. I was doing my AC/DC show last night, and they've got one song called Mistress for Christmas. And be honest with you, it's not a very good song. It's just, I mean, it's AC/DC, so I like it. But I don't want to hear AC/DC do a Christmas album. I don't think I'd want to listen to that. And I don't think I want to hear Crocus doing a Christmas album. But are there some good Christmas songs from some classic rock artists? Yeah. Bruce Springsteen. I mean, I think about some of the ones that are big, but do you have a couple that we don't know about?
Well, I mean, there's certain songs. I don't know that they're not classic rock songs. You know, we moved here. I was at Temple University before we were here at UAB. It's been a long time ago now. But my children, you'd think we only lived in Philly for 3 years, and you'd think they were raised in a cheesesteak, you know, deli or something, the way that they love Philly sports. And so they love the Jason Kelce Philly Christmas special, whatever the Philadelphia Eagles team recorded back-to-back years, a Christmas album, which they just think is the greatest. It is pretty funny, actually. The number one Christmas song, obviously, is Dolly Parton, Hard Candy Christmas.
Yes.
That's the best song ever, followed by Blue Christmas with Elvis. These are Blue Christmas. Fantastic.
Of course.
Another great Christmas album, not classic rock, but a great one, is Jimmy Buffett, Christmas Island, which is a great Christmas album. So if you're looking for something different, that's a fun one to listen to.
Have you gotten a chance to hear the Dolly Parton rock album?
No, I haven't. Is it out?
Yeah, it came out last week. Actually 2 weeks ago. There's a reason why you haven't heard it. You're probably listen, I love Dolly Parton. Don't get me wrong. She can do no wrong in my life. But it is what it is. It's just Dolly Parton singing some of her favorite classic rock songs, and you're not going to hear any of those songs on a rock station or a country station. It's almost somewhat of a novelty. It's I understand that she wanted to do a rock album because she made it into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'm not saying that she wouldn't have done the rock album had she not been voted in, and she didn't have to do a rock album to get in because she was going to get in because it's more than just the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's the Music Hall of Fame. But it's worth one listen to. I wouldn't buy it. When you see, Dolly Parton singing a Led Zeppelin song, it's kind of a train wreck moment. You will want to listen to it, but you probably won't want to listen to it again. I'm just saying.
Well, Dolly Parton was born and raised in a place called Sevierville, Tennessee, yes, which is also where my college roommate, Jason Lehman, was from. And so I don't know if I paid more attention to Dolly, but he used to talk about her and, all that. She just has done a lot of really great things for the community where
she had no running water, right?
Yeah. I don't remember how many kids, but like a house with a lot of kids in the house. But she's done a lot for literacy in the state and sends a bunch of kids to college and pays for, but like she's really, really philanthropically very charitable to her community and the state that she grew up in, and which is wonderful for a person that's had the kind of success that she's had. And she was just at, actually it was the who did Tennessee play? Vanderbilt, I guess, in their last game. She was, I guess, at their game, sang Rocky Top or something. And then she was at the Dallas Cowboys game singing in a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader outfit, which is, for, I don't know how old Dolly Parton is, but she looked great. I was like, my wife was like, good for her.
she can still fit like, it in there, man.
God bless her. Look pretty at her.
Go, stuff.
So I need to listen to that album.
One time. It's worth one time. I felt like I needed to listen to it just one time just because it's Dolly Parton. And if Dolly Parton does a rock album, I have to listen to it one time. But I probably will not listen to it again. Great stuff. Mark, thank you so much. Happy December. Great to have you on the UAB Director's Chair. Of course, you can hear the show at least 5 days a week here on the TKR app, wherever you get your favorite podcast, right here on the Tony Curry YouTube channel. We'll catch up next week, my friend.
Great. Look forward to it.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.